And she just mentioned the idea of signal to noise ratio in your head. And it occurs to me that the signal to noise ratio around that dining room table is pretty off. There's a lot of noise, there's a lot of discussion going around, but we always find time to really connect. Liz has connected me to a lot of wonderful people. She's always gone out of her way to connect each of us with each other. So I would like all of you to thank and to welcome Liz Strauss.
I wasn't always this tall. I know that's hard to believe, but once upon a time, I was about this tall. And I had two older brothers, and by being the youngest of the baby in the family, I learned that life wasn't fair. Because each of my brothers had a brother and a sister, but I only had two brothers. Just wasn't fair. And my older older brother, he just sort of ignored me. We had a peaceful relationship. My younger older brother, he thought I was his pet. So from the time I was born, he trained me to a whistle. And he would whistle and I would come running. And he was always smarter than me and taller than me and more experienced than me. And I could never win at any of the games. And he would whistle and I would come running. We would play hide and seek and he would whistle and I would come out. We would play cops and robbers and he would whistle and he would shoot me. And I'd never win. Until the day when I got to be about 8 years old and my brain kicked in. I thought about there must be something that was good about being the shortest and the youngest in the biggest family. And when we played hide and seek, I hid behind the water heater. There was this little space behind the water heater where only I would fit. And he never found me. I think to this day he still doesn't know where I am. And I like it that way. My point being was I finally figured out how to take what was my disadvantage and make it an advantage. I so-called seized the opportunity. And the reason he never found me was because he wouldn't fit there, so he never thought to look there. He couldn't hide there, so he never thought to look there. But up until then, I'd been lost in the signal and noise inside my head about how rotten it was that my brother had me turned to a whistle, about how rotten it was that I couldn't do what he did, about how rotten it was he would tell me that I could have $500 the next time we played Monopoly, and then we never played Monopoly again. And I brought him a glass of water anyway. Slavery is what it was. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about opportunity. Opportunity. You have opportunity all around you. It's the other side of that problem. Every change, every problem is an opportunity. In fact, the way you're looking at the problem is what's keeping it a problem. If you start looking at it as an opportunity, things will change. Now I have to take the opportunity to put my glasses on. The first thing it says here is, if you want to live and straighten out the voices in your head, voices that tell you, oh, I'm not good enough, oh, I should keep doing what I'm doing, oh my God, people won't respond if I try and do something else. My brother will find me where I'm hiding anyway. He's always better than me anyway. Turn off that signal to noise ratio in your head and decide, homicide, suicide, matricide, they all come from the same etymology. Kill off all other options. Decide to make whatever you are work for you. And you do that by a relentless focus on where you want to go. And where I wanted to go was to a place where my brother couldn't find me. I was talking to a young man named Chris, who's a friend of my son's. I had an opportunity to interview for a job. He was all focused on the job and not the person. The person is the opportunity. I said to Chris, pay attention to the person. You may not fit the job, but the person represents an entire network. So focus on seeing yourself where you want to be. Focus on seeing the project finished. Everything you've ever succeeded at, the day you started, you knew you were going to finish. The difference between what you succeeded at and what you left unfinished is that you decided you were going to finish before you started. That way, when the roadblocks came, when the obstacles came, when those things that didn't look like opportunities came, you didn't drop back and go, oh my God, this is too hard. You kept working. Focus on the processes and the resources that you need. Because that will help you know when an opportunity comes by, when a person comes by who looks like what you need. If you know what you need, you'll recognize it when it shows up. Focus on making that opportunity a priority. So that when you're walking down the road and you know, I want to get there, and other people offer you things, you know what to say no to as much as you know what to say yes to. So that when someone asks for your help, you can see whether it aligns with your goals. And if you choose not to follow your goal, not to go to that opportunity, or if you choose to take the opportunity to help someone else, at least you know whether you're moving your goals forward. Focus on working in the moment. Now, you don't have to be as zen as I am, you know, because like, I'm so in the moment that I'm still on Tuesday when the rest of the world has gotten to Friday. You might want to be a little less in the moment than that. But stay in the moment because the only moment is now. If you're too worried about the future or too living in the past, you won't end up in your opportunity. And more important than anything, any opportunity can be a vehicle to get you where you're going if you know where you're going. And knowing where you're going is irresistibly attractive. You know, when 10 of us are talking about going to dinner and everybody's going, where do you want to go? I don't know. Where do you want to go? I don't know. Where do you want to go? And that one person says, we're going to go here. We all follow. Knowing where you're going is critically important because who would want to follow you if you don't? So go out. Know your opportunity. Seek it. Find it. Follow it. And use it to help you decide who you're going to help, who you're going to work with, and who you're going to be if you grow up.
I think you can see why all of us love Liz as much as we do. Coming next is something just a bit different, but a lot in the same line, and that is Andy Dixon. And he is known as the ex-con with convictions. And he has fans. He has more fans. He has a very remarkable story. He's the man that we went to dinner last night. We went for pizza. And he told us this story in one sentence. My father got shot in Satan's cell. And he didn't know it until he got home and took off his shoe. This is the kind of incredibly rough and violent